Welcome to episode 8 of the Endurance Sports Running Podcast. This week we're back together in the kitchen.
Indeed.
How you doing, Steve?
Lovely, you?
Yeah, not mad.
Haven't
not
seen
bad.
You for a while.
No.
Looking well?
Rounder.
Yeah, yeah.
But feeling better.
But yeah, healthier.
Yeah, which is a good place to be, hopefully. Okay, so first of all, let's just have a little bit of a catch up on what we're doing on today's show. So episode 8 of the Endurance Sports Running Podcast in association with X Miles is this week again supported by Mountain Fuel. Mountain Fuel is supporting this week's episode because our guest on the show interview this week is Charlie Harper, who is one of the ambassadors for Mountain Fuel. So we've got a link for Mountain Fuel using the discount code ESRPODCAST. It's active on the website and valid until the launch of episode 9. So you can use that at checkout to get 10% off Mountain Fuel products and try out the Mountain Fuel range, including the Fuel Pack, which is basically one of each of the drinks mix and one of each of the jellies, which is quite a nice way to try the products. Okay, so before we move over to the interview, let's do our normal catch-up. Thanks again for everyone for joining us and listening to episode 8. We've had 1,959 downloads so far for the first 7 episodes, so we're just about to hopefully break the 2,000 mark. So, yeah, massive thanks to that. Again, you can check out and connect via the podcast on all the podcast platforms, but also join our Facebook group for kind of news on what's happening, ask questions, and basically just some more chatter. Mm. Cool. So before we go over to our interview, we're interviewing Charlie Harper. For people who don't know, Charlie Harper is current British 100K champion, road ultra champion.
Of course, of an illustrious list he's joined there.
Yeah, including not me.
Nearly everyone. Didn't he win it?
No.
Was that why you were second?
Cheers, Steve.
Yeah, cheers for that. Well, it's joining an illustrious list of some of your friends.
Yes, yes. Club mates. Yeah.
Everybody in your club apart from you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that's all right.
Good. Charlie's had a very interesting year. He's obviously done some had some good results in the 100K on the road. But he was also out in Western States supporting Tom Evans to get his podium at Western States. So it's quite an interesting interview on what he's been up to and what he's got planned for the rest of the year and hopefully next year.
Where's he? Is he local?
Well, he lives in London.
Oh, okay. So sort of England rather than one of the other territories.
And another person that's actually fitting a good running career in with a very busy job and also studying as well. So he's it's a very interesting interview. So we'll move over to that in a bit. So what's been going on then, Steve? We've got some local stuff that's been quite amusing.
Bits and pieces. I guess I've been probably running a little bit more than you. I did see that your big comeback was on the last two Sundays. Were you DNF'd the last two junior park runs?
Technically, you're not allowed to finish, are you?
So okay. did you make it all the way around to the finish final?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you didn't scan. Yeah, nice touch.
Yeah. But yeah, little one's doing well. A couple of PBs and it's a bit hot last weekend. So
yeah, it's been a warm one, isn't it? Yeah, there's been a few odds and sods going on. Racing wise, there hasn't been that much going on locally.
No, a few people were thinking about doing marathons in September. So there's a little bit of talk about people kicking off training.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of sessions sort of starting off, and there's I know at least 3 or 4 have sort of committed to them. You know, they've got their little England vests, so they've got they haven't got any choice. They've got to sort of get on with it. And then a few that are thinking about Bournemouth.
So we've got a couple of people on the England Masters marathon
bandwagon,
and it'd be in different age groups. So that'd be quite interesting actually when it comes up to go and see how they get on.
Yeah, shame it's a bit so far away, otherwise it could be a good trip up, couldn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
A little bit of racing around locally. I'd say New Forest 10 was a few weeks ago, where one of our mates, Rob, managed to run sort of a pretty good time of about 55 minutes on a not very fast course on
a
very hot day. Managed to get beaten by two blokes down here on holiday, which was a good effort. our mate Lee's won several races, usually in the same week.
Races twice a week.
So, you know, it's guaranteed to win. Obviously, the big news locally is that our local 1K loop that our training group put in there, our performances on a Wednesday night, we've been missing the Strava KOM on that for the last... For goodness, so long. So
we loaned it to a lonely goat, didn't we?
Yeah, the lonely goat. Who set a benchmark that was pretty useful of sort of a 252 kilometre, which we all looked at and thought, well, there's none of us on here that could give that one much of a sorting out. So we've had to recruit our only junior member and sent a 14-year-old down there to sort it out instead, and he's managed to knock out a 239. So... I think that's a 4:17 minute mile pace, so I think that's put it out of the reaches of certainly any of us.
Well, it's out of the reach of everyone now.
unless someone really seriously is desperate enough to come down and take it away. But
and now we've just put it on here, probably someone will.
So. Yeah, well, that's right. Well, it's a challenge if nothing else, isn't it? So if you want to come down and have a go at that one, then feel free. But yeah, you could be in the same situation as us where you're outclassed by 30, 40 seconds by a schoolboy. there's a few guys coming up with a few races coming up, aren't there? We've got this weekend, I think Pat's doing Lakeland 100 this weekend.
Yeah.
And Meston, he's doing the, what is it, the Kennet and Avon Canal, 145 miles. That's a bit eager, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's going to be warm as well, isn't
it? Well, that's the problem this time of year, isn't it? It could get a bit warm. And make that quite difficult.
Yeah, well, it's only Bristol to London. It's not far, is it? Yeah, no, should be wind. Exactly. Should be home, maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. Personally, we have 3 weeks since the last one. I guess my mileage has been reasonable. I think I did 54 miles a couple 3 weeks ago. And then sort of 59 the week before last. Only did 50 last week because I was supposed to do a bit more. But then the cricket ran over a bit too late, and I wasn't going out at 8:30 on a Sunday night.
No, a good weekend of sport last, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's been sort of mainly base miles with the lot. We seem to have at the moment to start with doing these sort of Saturday runs where we're running to a park run, running around a park run reasonably fast, and then running home from one, which sort of tends to change venue on a weekly basis. This week was quite a good one because we popped down to Poole. And Rob ran his first sub 16, which was quite nice to be.
Yeah, didn't Lee run sub 16 as well?
Yeah, he nearly did. Yeah,
he nearly did. Did he run
1562?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, 1562.
Yeah,
which is a good effort. it's there, isn't it? To be fair, it's faster than.
Mate, that's good. That's good time. Yeah. But Rob did smash it.
Yeah, obviously. 15:40 something.
Right? And then he ran 3K later on the track, didn't he? On the same day.
Did he even do the steeplechase?
No, didn't
get talked into one. Craig had up at the night of 10,000 PBs when he ran 31, low 31.
Yeah.
I think
good. Looked like a good and. Good day out as well, and I was a bit gutted. I was always thinking about going up there.
Look a good day out. It's just a bit of a long way from down here, and if you've got other stuff to do, then it's kind of but
he seemed to be pretty pleased with it. It was good race on the track.
Good meeting all around, really, didn't it?
Yeah, good, and so
you're back and doing little bits.
Well, yeah, so I guess from last time, I didn't actually know what was wrong with me last time. I was still kind of just about, I think it was the day I was going to go back to the doctors. So I went back to the hospital, saw the rheumatology specialist to be told that I had or have Epstein-Barr virus, which is kind of quite common.
Very fashionable, obviously.
It's very fashionable, yeah. So Mark Cavendish has been battling it for probably just over a year or so.
It seems to be quite a common one with athletes at the moment. Well, not common, but certainly, I don't know whether it's being diagnosed a little bit more often.
Obviously, it seems to be, as kind of talked off the microphone, that it's, you become more susceptible to picking up viruses like this when you're training hard because your immune system's low, and if that's overtraining or just being absolutely done after big training. But they seem to think I've had it for months, it hasn't just come, so I've probably been training and racing with it for most of the year.
Well, it makes Manchester look a good run if you were having a virus at the time.
We'd take it if it kind of is, but it's now we come to kind of look at it, I kind of see where it may have been in my training, because I was, you know, I was struggling to do any of the sessions. I was struggling to kick off any of the tempo stuff, but I seemed to be all right on the longer runs. And when I got going, obviously Epstein Barr virus, it's commonly causes glandular fever, which is apparently I've had when I was earlier, because I had some of the antibodies in my blood. So they kind of said, well, you've obviously had it before, so you didn't get it full. But I had the sore throats, headaches, yeah, and obviously the fatigue from it, but also the muscle condition that I had was another offshoot of Epstein-Barr virus. So obviously the fact that my legs blew up and things like that wasn't glandular fever, but that was, yeah, something else that came off the Epstein-Barr virus. So I basically got to get my bloods back to, still get my bloods back to where they need to be, and that's kind of where it is. There's still no treatment, it's just kind of time.
No, from what I can gather, the guys that have had it, it's they kind of don't just stop training. It just means that you're, yeah, sort of can't really be competition ready.
So they basically said that the longer I leave it to get down to a normal level before I start training again or doing anything, the quicker the recovery hopefully will, okay, be. But if you kind of try and train through it, it could just drag on for months and months, yeah, and months. So having these 2 months, hopefully, my bloods were kind of not far off being kind of the breakdown in the muscle showing, like if you just run a marathon normally. So at the moment they're just above that. Hopefully this week, a week later, if they're below that level, I'll start doing some really easy, like 5K runs and things like that, and taking the dog out and things, and just get generally running again every day. Because then, yeah, I can see over the next 2 weeks if it goes back up, if, yeah, it carries on dropping, then hopefully I'll be all right to kind of go through. I think the rest of this year is written off for actually targeting everything, so it's just kind of chilling out now. And
obviously, your target race will be the Broadstone Quarter on New Year's Day.
Yeah,
as every other year.
Yeah, yeah. I DNF'd that last year.
What could go wrong then? You didn't DNF it as bad as Dave. You got 200 yards.
Oh no, I DNF'd it year four. Yeah,
yeah, no, Dave. We had it was a world record DNF, that one, wasn't it? Not even the bottom of the first hill. Good skills.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I am, really. I've, you know, a couple of junior park runs, as you said, and then
very nice.
And hopefully, if I get the result I want tomorrow on my blood results, then I will start jogging, and then we will hopefully be a little bit.
So it's 15 miles Saturday morning then.
Yeah,
going
park running back,
going deep. Yeah,
all good fun. Right, so I think that kind of wraps us up for our little catch-up. So we will now switch over to our interview with Charlie. Again, I hope you all enjoy episode 8 of the Endurance Sports Running Podcast. The show is available direct via the podcast website, iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Please follow, subscribe, and leave any reviews, and it will help us get seen by other people. Again, please join the Facebook group, and there's also a Strava group as well. So until next time, cheers, Steve.
Indeed.
Welcome, Charlie, to the Endurance Sports Running Podcast. Great to have you join us. So for our listeners, just wanted to list a few of your standout performances for 2019, because you've had a pretty good year, haven't you?
It's not been bad. No, it's not been bad.
So a couple of debuts on the road, if I'm right in saying that, 100K and 50K debut on the road?
Yep, two debuts this year.
Yeah, so obviously we started off with one leading to the other. So you obviously ACP was a goal to get to run for England for the ACP 100K, the British 100K champs.
Yeah.
So to do that, you obviously had to run a qualifying race, which I guess it was the Gloucester Winter 50K, which was the race that they were asking people to go and run to qualify for the team or put your name in the hat for the team.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, there were quite a few of us going for it the day.
Yeah. Yeah, there was quite a few, actually. It was quite a good field, but on paper, to going forward. And so
How did that go? Because obviously you won the 50K in just snuck under 3 hours for 50K, which is by no mean time at all for your debut at 50K.
Yeah. It was pretty touch and go, but obviously that's how I planned it.
Of course, you. 1 second under 3 hours is exactly the time you want to get if you're going for sub three, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Just perfect pacing. I just put on a burst for the last second.
So obviously selected for England team. That was your first international best, is that?
That was, yeah. Very proud day. Proud day for me. Yep.
Yeah, I also made my obviously 100K debut in Perth as well, because it was back in Perth in Scotland for the ACP 100K champs. It's quite a nice course actually, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, you get used to it. It's 42 laps of North Inch Park in Perth. So you pretty much have to like it because you get to see it enough.
Yeah. I guess, really, for people that kind of don't get how 100K racing works on the road, you know, obviously trail racing and everything, you have lots of nice routes and courses. The whole point of 100K road running is to have a controlled, I think you have to have the start and finish within a certain distance of each other anyway for it to be an official 100K course.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they need to make it very simple for feeding and crewing of athletes. So usually an out and back or a loop course is how that works, and yeah, in Perth you basically just run around the park in a loop, and then you have a opportunity to hit your feed station or your crew station every lap.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so that kind of in some ways I've run worse 100Ks. It's a nice course. So yeah, talk us through it, because you absolutely smashed it.
Well, I did pretty well on the day. Yeah, I didn't really know how it was going to go, as obviously that was the debut on the road, and the competition was pretty stacked. There are a lot of people there that I'd really admired, who I was racing against, and I felt the nerves again, about that. Towing the line with some really fast people, people in my team that run Commonwealth Marathon standard, and also the Scottish guys.
Robert, especially, because Rob's pretty consistent with his 100K running, but again, he PB'd as well, so that's shows.
He did, yeah, and I think it was really him that pushed me to do how I did. So.
Yeah, I've had a few head-to-heads with Rob, but unfortunately, he seems to, every time I seem to race Rob, in an England vest, I get beaten. So.
He's pretty quick. Yeah.
I did manage to get in front of him with a GB vest on, in the same team. So it's
So
6 hours 44 minutes 18, which is a hell of a time, and say it's for a debut. Was that kind of where you were planning for? Were your goal time? Were you far off what you wanted? Or
well, I think everyone kind of aims for that sort of holy grail of 7 hours, and that's really what I did. And in the end, I felt a lot better than I perhaps thought I was going to. I didn't really want to go in there thinking, right, 6:40, 6:30 or something like that, because, I hadn't done that before. I've done 100K on trails before, but that was quite undulating and sort of style hopping and, whatnot. So I didn't really know what to expect. So I didn't want to go in feeling too cocky. So, yeah, 7 hours was really what I was aiming for. And like I said, the competition on the day was so much that it really just sort of pushed me.
Yeah, and obviously that helps. I found that definitely with some of the events where you actually get a good field, especially with, like you say, there was quite a few fast guys in that field on over marathon and things like that really, if you get someone pushing the pace early on, it tends to see the group kind of going off a little bit quicker than you would have
planned to in the first place. But
I guess I mean that happened today. I mean, Rob and Kyle, they were really, really going for it. So I was going faster than I was actually intending to go, but just really felt like I had to sort of keep in touch with them.
You can see
what they did.
It's a strange one, because you can either let them go and hope that they come back and you just run the race you want, or you kind of go with it. So it's which can again go two ways. It can either produce a great performance, or it can have you coming out the wrong side of that. So yeah, congratulations on British 100K champion for 2019. That's a nice title to add to your CV.
Yeah, I quite enjoy it anyway. So thanks very much.
No worries. So I guess so that's kind of road running, and that's kind of quite new this year. I know you've done a few marathons in the past, but you've also done quite a few kind of standout trail races, great performances on the trails. More 2018, I guess the ones that you did Centurion's South Down Way 100. Yeah. Was that your debut 100 miles? Was it?
That was debut 100 miles. Yeah.
See, indeed. I haven't gone that way yet. I don't. How was 100 miles?
Oh, it's a lovely experience. You've got to give it a go.
I think if you're on the, I guess on the trails, it's all my long stuff's been on the road, and I have done mountain trail races and things like that in the Alps for fun more than competition. I guess it's in some ways more nicer way of running, because you're not with the 100k on the road, you are basically like running a marathon, isn't it? You're on
trying to
hold exactly. that pace, exact pace all the time. So.
Exactly, yeah. Well, with the trail 100 mile, I mean, you know, if you're really sneaky and no one sees, you can perhaps walk some of the uphills, but don't tell anyone I said that. But you know, yeah, road racing is really. It's sort of precision stuff. You have your splits that you keep to, and you try and be consistent. But with a trail, it's sort of more of an adventure, really.
Yeah. And you also did the UK Trail Running Championship and the Stork 30 Miler in 2018. And and you won that race, didn't you, and run the UK Trail Running Championships?
I did indeed. Yeah. For the middle distance, there were three distances, and that was the 30 mile was the middle one.
So out of interest, how did that? So after doing that, obviously that's some good performances on the trail. You decided then to switch to the road, or was it a case of trying to get a vest? Because I guess that's sort of the one way. But yeah, if you're looking to get an international vest, you kind of look to what events are coming up to do it. But I guess you've kind of ran really well on the trails. Did you not fancy going the trail route, or is that still something that you're thinking about?
It is. Yeah, I've always sort of considered myself a trail runner. But I've certainly said it to people in the past that my coach Marcus Scottney was very, who you may have come across. On the scene. He really encouraged me to race for what I could train for, really. So, you know, between the South Downs Way 100 and the UK Trail Running Championships last year, I went out to Chamonix and I did the CCC.
Okay.
And, you know, it was not a disastrous performance by any means, but it certainly wasn't anywhere near as competitive as my other results. And at the time I was bit disappointed with that, but really, I mean, I live and work in West London, and I'm quite.
It's not quite Chamonix, is it?
It's not quite. I mean, the Alps of Richmond Park occasionally can, but it's really difficult. And I sort of had visions of perhaps going out there before the race and doing a bit of a stint, rather like you did before Comrades.
Yeah.
Going over to the Brecon Beacons and Snowdonia and things like that, and getting some trail in. But you know, I was so busy. It was sort of right at the end of a period of exams for me, so I ended up really not doing any of that at all. So I went to Chamonix feeling like a fit runner, But I wasn't in the mountain man shape, and so that was when I really decided that okay, maybe I could be more competitive at you know, the flatter stuff. And since most of my training miles is considerably faster and flatter, Marcus encouraged me to go for, sort of dangled the carrot of the England vest before me.
Yeah, and obviously Marcus has run ACP and done very well himself. So I guess that's where that kind of
exactly
that kind of idea came from. And seems like you say, it seems very sensible way of doing it. And just to get that vest is a very proud moment anyway, isn't it? So
exactly. He'd been there before. He had the expertise and the experience, and he was very helpful in my prep and build up for that. And so it was a good decision. So
yeah, it definitely helps, because I in the same way I had Jez Bragg and Steve Way kind of and John Sharkey kind of, who had all run the 100K down here, and club mates of mine, just saying, you know, go for it. How to run 100K and how it's different from other things, and just to have that experience from someone that's actually been there and done it makes a massive difference, doesn't it? I know we chatted just before as well, so
I won't forget that. I won't forget those sage words of wisdom when I called up, and you were very helpful indeed, so thank you.
It was all good until I was watching you on the tracker and realizing that you might actually get my PB.
wasn't far off.
No, not far off at all. I mean, so I guess I'm just kind of going back. So let's go back a little bit further on that. So how long have you been running? Because did you start? Because I was at a little browse on Power of 10, and I know that you did a couple of marathons on the road in Oslo and Cologne in 2012.
Ah, yes, yeah. Heady days.
So it's quite about 3:15, kind of good debut marathon times, and then sub-3 the following year. And then kind of it's looking on Power 10, it was like 2016 before you had another go at the road marathon, was it?
I think that was it. But I was
were you doing lots of other trail races and other things then, or were you not really running? Or
no, I was running. I was just I was doing trail events, things like that, things that you know how Power of 10 works. Picks up on the sort of quantifiable races, and if that makes sense.
List all the races that have got race licenses and upload results, but anything with trailing and things like that, it kind of, unless someone submits a performance separately, it doesn't automatically get uploaded. It's a shame, really, because it's not really a good way of seeing everyone's results and things like that, because it's kind of quite for me sometimes quite interesting to have a look and see what other people are doing and things like that. You kind of look at me, well, he hasn't done much for 3 years. He's probably been all over the place.
I was a bit quiet on the old Power of 10 side, but on the ITRA site, you know, the international trail, the more results logged on there, I think. That was a sort of period of trail running, and then I decided to go back and have a go at the London Marathon.
And 2016. I see that the 2016, 17, and 18 that you ran road marathons, and 2:33 in 2018. Is that right?
Yep, the hot year. That's when I'd first started working with a coach, working with Marcus. Things really sort of that was really 2018, or beginning of last year, was where things really sort of started properly for me, I think.
So it's all kind of kicked into kind of focus. So how do you do that? You said obviously that you were busy with exams and things like that before doing the CCC, and you've got a pretty cool place where you work, because you work at Kew, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I work and study at Kew Gardens. I'm on their diploma in horticulture program, which is a sort of quite an exclusive and at times competitive thing. There are only 5 of us in our year.
Nice.
And that sort of involves my day's horticultural work around the plant collection at Kew, which gets me around the entire collection on the glass and in the arboretum and in the gardens. And then I switch into student mode in the evenings and at weekends. So right. it gets a bit full on, and wrapping the training sessions around that is it doesn't do recovery too many favors.
No, I can get that. I know having a family, 3 children, trying to run your own business and doing things like this and everyone else in the evenings and things like that, fitting training in, you've got to be quite fixed on a routine and things like that. And I know you run back from work tonight. So is that something that you do quite a lot? Commute, is it?
Or? Yeah. I think that's it's just a really good way of using time. I think that's really good use of time, really. I either cycle or run, but you know, coming up to a race now, I'm sort of using every opportunity to get the runs in. Running from Kew back to where I live, it's sort of I can go over Richmond Park and Wimbledon Common and things like that, and
you can get some decent routes in and add some miles in.
Yeah,
as training requires and as the training plan requires, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, my Marcus is very good at sort of accommodating for what I'm able to do training wise, and really sort of, you know, squeezing the quality out of that, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I you kind of hinted their upcoming race, but before we go there, you've just come back from America after having a bit of fun out there, I guess, is the best way of putting it. But rather than being the racer, you were part crewing.
Yeah, that's right. I was out for a bit of fun at the Western States 100.
Yeah, so you were crewing Tom Evans to his podium finish at Western States, which was again, Tom's been putting some pretty amazing performances down over the last few years, but another probably iconic, well, one of the most iconic races, and to podium at Western States is a great achievement.
Yeah, I mean, it was a phenomenally fast year, and that just puts Tom's achievement, you know, even higher there. I mean, I think his finish was the fifth fastest time ever, and the fastest run by a non-US. Yes. And also, you know, it was his first 100 miler. He played it pretty. He really sort of raced sensibly, and then finished off with what I'm led to believe, there's been quite a lot of talk about it being the fastest finishing split ever.
Really? I have seen bits on different things. Yeah. So that's.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is Tom's not on Strava. So currently for Forest Hill to the finish, which is the last 40 miles, someone pointed out to me that I've got the CR on there. So there's a list of really, really sort of top names on there as well. So, I mean,
you just need to make sure Tom doesn't get on Strava then.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll hold that crown for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So you ran a big chunk of it. So you ran. So did you run 63K? Did you say? Or
yeah, I think it's 60-64. Bit.
Did you run that as one chunk at the end?
I did, yeah. So I dropped in at the first point where you're allowed to pick up a pacer. So that's a little bit just before the Forest Hill aid station at mile 62. That's where I picked our man up, and we sort of destroyed it to the finish.
You kind of get a great experience of running Western States like that. So you like you say, you've run quite a large section of that course now, and experienced that at the top level. So there must have been, I guess, you must have had to get in pretty good shape yourself to be in that position to pace Tom and.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, his attention to detail and preparation for that race was really second to none. I mean, he he'd been out there for a few weeks beforehand, and he'd been in Ethiopia training at altitude, yep. And really sort of getting to know the course and running in a lot greater heat than we can get in the UK and things like that. And so when I went out there, you know, coming from my sort of Anglo-Celtic plate, rainy Perth type prep, I was a little bit worried that, you know, this is going to require some more specific training, even though he would have put in 60 miles before I picked him up. But no, I was thankfully in good shape for it.
That's good. So have you got the US racing bug, the Western States bug, yourself now after experiencing it?
Yeah, I think. Well, I already had the bug.
Yeah,
I already had the bug for that. I mean, so before Tom and I sort of hooked up for this race, I had a failed lottery attempt.
Right. Okay.
So you know, being able to still be part of the race and soak up the atmosphere. I was actually out in California at the time on a work trip.
Looking at
plants in the wild, and so I sort of spent a couple of weeks really just sort of, you know, in the wilderness for the weeks beforehand. But so I couldn't hang around for too long before and after the race. But for the time that I was in there, you know, I met some really great people and just really sort of soaked up the excitement. Got a little bit nervous and was able to sort of help in Tom's preparation.
Yeah, I've seen some great photos on your own Instagram, but also on Tom's Instagram and things like that. So, you have a photographer out with the crew with you?
There was a bit of a sort of production crew as well, but and then there was also Tom's crew proper, which was such a great group of guys who really just left no stone unturned, and they had every, you know, the day went smoothly because the preparation was just fantastic. And then, I mean, Tom said that, you know, Tom himself says that none of it would have been possible without the team.
I mean, you can't underestimate how having going into things in that detail helps and things like that. I know that when, you know, even my build up to Comrades and things like that, you know, I'm talking with Gerda and Steve and things like that, and on, you know, looking at the course and looking at Strava splits from previous years and watching videos on going forward, even though you can't go out there, things like that, you just can't, you know, you can't get that experience off other people. You know, you need to do your research and make sure you plan for it and how you're gonna do it. So yeah, I can 100% get that. You know, if you put enough effort into any race like that, you know, the reward from that planning is massive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just I was made so aware of the power of the complete package.
Yeah,
you know, so that you've obviously got to be in the shape of your life, but.
Yeah, you've obviously got to do that work as well. Yeah, yeah.
As you say, you really need to have a dedicated and very skilled crew with you.
And obviously, just being part of that crew and experiencing that, then that helps you plan for your future.
Yeah, challenges and races. I'm not sure I'd go out there with
maybe not that many.
So, I'll see if Lizzie, my girlfriend, would be keen to do the work of about 10 people. But
yeah, I always rely on my Nikki, my wife, and my dad, and on 100K races where there's multiple aid stations, I have them, have the family spread out all over the course.
That's right. Yeah.
And then give them feedback afterwards on when I missed a drink.
I know. They have their own power, though, because you really, you really look forward to seeing them.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And that itself is a bit of a sort of a performance enhancer, I think.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, just knowing. And that's one thing that I quite enjoyed about the Perth course and things like that. That actually, you know, every lap you're going to see someone. And there was one of the Centurion guys over the other side of the lake. So we kind of, and every lap when he went round, he kind of spoke to you as you're going forward. And you kind of actually look forward to it because it broke up the lap again and things like that. So
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, so you've off ACP and you're training, running Western States. You've got another big race coming up then.
I have, yeah. We're sort of a month away from my next race,
which is
Ultravasan 90 in Sweden. Yeah, so preparation is sort of ticking along for that.
Yeah, so I know quite a few people have done it. I know Ilov was part of the Comrades team, and he won it last year. I'm not sure if he's actually racing again this year. He's just raced the Swedish 100K Championships as well. So he's I think he 6:30 on 100K off the back of Comrades. So that's quite.
Well, we can only hope that he doesn't make an appearance.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you say you're warming up nicely yourself, so you should be good. So Ultravasan is trail, but it's quite a flat trail. It's quite a fast course.
It's a nice 90K fast trail race. Yeah.
So you're going to attack it like a road 100K by going for a pace and splits, or because I guess it's not really, it's a bit different from some trail races because it is known for its fast course, isn't it? So
yeah it is, yeah. And you know, we've just spent quite a lot of time talking about the importance of preparation and things like that, and I haven't quite done that with the looking at pace and whatnot, but I'm just sort of getting the strength in my legs at the moment, and that's when I'm going to sort of sit down and work out and make sure that I am ready for it.
So part of that planning obviously is nutrition, and as this kind of linked in, we talk about nutrition and we've got what people do for nutrition. I know that you're supported by the guys at Mountain Fuel.
I am indeed.
Obviously we've had Rupert on talking about Mountain Fuel on the previous podcast, and I've got a very good relationship with Rupert from X-Miles side. So how do you feel differently for your road and trail races, or do you kind of use the same kind of plan for both?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the road races, as we said, that things are a lot more clinical and sort of about precision, and the trail races are a little bit more of, you know, take it as it comes, adventure,
yeah,
type thing. So I kind of set out with the same regular intervals for gels and drink mix and things like that. And with trails, sometimes something happens and you might be a few minutes late with getting your nutrition in.
Yeah.
But largely it's sort of the same thing. Then just making sure that it's consistent.
So I even on trail races, I kind of have the same plan of always taking what I need and having what I need. So I kind of don't rely on any race aid stations that are kind of, or fuel stations. But that kind of changes a little bit more on like 100-mile races, I guess, like Western States and things like that. There's a lot of other stuff that you can pick up. But I guess you still basically have everything you need in your crew packs and your aid stations. Those aid stations are kind of like extras.
Yeah. And you know, Western States, I mean, it was the last 40 miles was sort of in the canyons,
yeah,
where the heat really gets up. So actually, I was going through fluids a lot quicker. So I did have to make use of the aid stations there quite a bit just to
top up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because there's only a certain amount you can carry.
Yeah.
Anyway, but and having people at every aid station ready with your drinks, I guess you kind of need to kind of work on that. But I guess the Mountain Fuel products are the products that you kind of use. You said the gels. I guess that's the jellies, and
yep.
the extreme energy drink mix? Is that kind of your standard?
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. I use the unflavored,
the raw
drink mix.
Yeah, yeah.
And then alternate that with just plain water. And then have the Mountain Fuel jellies at intervals. Sometimes with a bit of caffeine in them as well.
The cola ones are the old. They're good. The caffeine cola ones. So, what's ahead after Ultravashen? Have you got a long term plan? Or, like, say, I guess you talked about the lottery. I guess that putting in for the lottery is kind of a default. Just to hopefully that'll come up at some point.
Yeah, I'll be going in for that for sure. Yeah. And then we'll see, but you know, it is very, very competitive. I don't really have the time to at the moment, to this year anyway, to go out to the US and race a golden ticket event or something like that. So we'll just see how that goes, and that'll dictate how the year plays out. But I'm just gonna take it as it comes next year. I'll obviously be chatting to you about this, but we'd love to do Comrades at some point. So that is certainly on the cards.
Yeah, it's another one of those races that kind of ticks the boxes of you've got to do it at some point, because it's kind of that sort of iconic race that you want to do as a ultra runner, especially if you experience running on the road and things like that. And I've definitely got unfinished business on the
South
Africa. So and there's also a big World Championships again next year for 100K, and I very much hope that we both feature in the thoughts of people selecting that team for the end of 2020, as long as we're both fit and in well.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really that next year will be the main target. Hopefully showing that I'm still carrying the form earlier on in the year will be a sort of priority.
I think that's the thing, having a good event of some sort in early in the year. I know that we've both got times underneath the individual qualifying time set for last selection. If that doesn't change, hopefully we'll have a strong team, because I know that Lee, even though he hasn't run for a couple of years, ran well. Comrades in 12th place. Obviously Rob ran a PB at 100K this year again, so there's a good four or five strong runners that could possibly make up a good GB team, and hopefully we'll be competitive, because I think with three good performances out in Holland, that there's a chance for a team medal and things like that. So it'd be great that if we're all around. It's actually nice to have, seeing that we've got a good group of people running that sort of time, because in the past it's been, I know the year Marcus has run, and Marcus was selected for the World Championships, but unfortunately didn't race because he was injured, and we didn't have anyone go that year and things like that. So to even have to have four or five people that, you know, potentially on paper a year out look like they've got the times, it'd be great to take a strong team over to 100K, because it was an amazing experience for me last time, and it'd be great to share that again and go out there and do that again. So
yeah, and the conditions obviously favoured you.
Yes, yeah, it was good. It was warmer, and it was a good course. I think that's why I kind of like the idea of Comrades. It wasn't flat. It was slightly undulating, not quite as undulating as Comrades, but it'll be. I definitely think, again, like you learn from every 100K, and I've managed to knock a few minutes off every 100K so far. So if I can shake off this virus and get myself through the end of the year, I'd like to think that we'll start strong next year and get a good early performance in, maybe run a couple of road marathons and probably head out to Comrades, hopefully, if that all pays out, and then into the 100K. So that would be definitely a nice agenda for 2020.
Sounds lovely. Sounds good. Yeah.
So it's been really good to talk to you and catch up, and I think that definitely we have to do this again after Ultravassen and see what's plans for the future.
Yeah.
It all looks very bright. So, all
good fun at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's what it needs to be, isn't it? So what social media and bits like that? If people want to kind of follow you and maybe reach out to you, you're on Strava.
I am, as
you've got the Western States crown.
That's true. Yeah. I'm a bit private on there.
Yeah.
Just because obviously.
No, that's just. So where Instagram?
Yeah, Instagram's my main social media. So,
Just Charlie.Harper.
Yeah, that's right.
On Instagram, we'll put some links to your Instagram in the show notes and things like that. So.
That would be good. It's Harper spelled in a weird way as well. So
Harper, yes.
Yeah, confuses everyone.
Yeah, what is it? It means you can get the right Instagram name rather than having to have loads of numbers after it or something random.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, Charlie, thanks again. Thanks for joining us for the Endurance Sports Running Podcast, and good luck for your Ultravassen, and we will hopefully speak again soon.
I really hope so. Thanks very much. I really enjoyed chatting to you, and hopefully I'll see you before next year's World 100K. But otherwise, hope we might both make an appearance there. So
definitely, fingers crossed.
Yeah, great.
Cheers, Charlie.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, great. Speak to you soon, Anthony. Cheers.
So, just a little follow-up after the interview with Charlie. We were talking about his Ultravassen trip and how Ilov, who was in the Comrades team, won it last year. We've looked at the start list. So, Ilov is running this year, and obviously he's just run a 6:30 100K off the back of Comrades. So, he's in nice shape. So, that'll give Charlie some competition. Also, there's another name on the start list which probably wasn't thought about that might challenge him. There's a certain Jim Walmsley that's running Ultravassen as well. So
that could be interesting.
So I think Charlie's got some nice competition over in Ultravassen, so that'd be quite good to catch up.
So that's the one in Sweden.
It's a fast, as we talked about with Charlie on the thing, it's a fast trail. So it's a little bit of single track, but it is runnable. So it's
sort of be like an American 100-mile sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll hopefully catch up with Charlie after Ultravassen. So hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Cheers.